It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe it's already March. If you're listening to this on Saturday, it's March 2nd or Sunday, March 3rd. So February, of course, obviously is a short month, but life seems to travel really fast. We're already into March. Big shout out to my running friends for participating in the Mount Ascutney night race for the Winter Wild Series. We ran up and down Mount Ascutney in Vermont on a Saturday night. And upcoming on March 9th is the next Winter Wild race on March 9th at Waterville Valley. But this week's show is on the New Hampshire Food Bank, and with me is the executive director of Eileen, whose name is Eileen Laponis. I've known Eileen for many years in different capacities. So, Eileen, tell us about your journey to get to the New Hampshire Food Bank, a very interesting background. And in the spirit of transparency, and Eileen knows this, long ago I was on the New Hampshire Food Bank Steering Committee when we were raising funds for the new beautiful facility, which, you know, Eileen, you know, can talk about. So tell us about your background, though, Eileen.
Sure. Originally from upstate New York, grew up on a very farm-like environment. My father was a seventh-generation Bavarian fruit farmer.
Oh, nice.
Lived on a sustainable farm, and so that background of not wasting anything and using everything is something I bring to the table. And the use of local produce and supporting our farming community, and who also support our food insecure, is something that I bring to the table. And I'm very fortunate to be in a very rich state such as New Hampshire in both community and farming support for our food insecure.
And so I learned that a lot when I was on the food bank steering committee. This was several years ago. And to sort of feel, even though we're very, in general, wealthy state, and, for example, we have good oral health metrics and a lot of good things, but it's still true, Eileen, that one out of nine people are food insecure. So why don't you maybe verify those statistics and tell people, you know, what we mean by food insecurity?
Sure. Food insecurity is when you really don't know where your next meal is coming from. You worry about running out of food before you get money to pay for more food. Our food insecure folks in our state run a wide range. Folks that are employed, you know, folks think employment is low, so everyone's working, everyone's eating, but it's very difficult to make ends meet. For example, in the city of Manchester, we backed into the numbers, and for a family of four, two adults and two children, both adults working at minimum wage, it would take them a combined 192 hours per week to make ends meet without any social services. So when things get tough, often food is one of the last things on the list in front of your rent, your electricity and heat, and your medications. And so our food insecure are often our working poor. One in nine of our New Hampshire citizens are considered food insecure. One in 11 children is considered food insecure. And one in seven seniors is considered food insecure. And that last number is going to grow very much as our state is one of the oldest populations, you know, by 2030, I believe. We are going to be the oldest state right next to the state of Maine, who currently holds that title.
So Northeast Delta Dental, we cover New Hampshire, Maine, and Vermont. So I guess we have to make sure, because we obviously are aware of those aging demographics from an oral health perspective as well. So so that could possibly exacerbate the situation. Obviously, when you're no longer working, then your income level isn't as high. And of course, everything is sort of related, you know, homelessness, food insecurity, the mental health, addiction, and everything. And I always say to folks, you know, like, you know, when you see people with what seems to be a nice car, you know, driving up to the, say, Friendly Kitchen in Concord, that may be their home, in effect.
Right.
And so we all have to realize that in some respects, as good as the economy is, you know, a good, you know, many people are one paycheck from homelessness. And as you said, worried about the food. So tell us, I know you're a big believer in this. You know, the food bank tries to not only give away tuna cans, but also teach people to fish and deal with this holistically and systemically. So tell us about some of the programs and how, from a policy perspective, the food bank that you lead handles that.
Sure. One of the programs that we have that teaches nutrition education is called Cooking Matters. It's with Share Our Strength and No Kid Hungry. And those are 8-week classes that are designed to help those who are food insecure learn how really to shop on a budget, how to really get the most out of their dollar. We have pop-up tours in grocery stores, teaches them about unit pricing. And so to really get the most nutrition out of their dollar, and those classes are for adults, families, and for children. And we also have a culinary job training program with our production kitchen. Our production kitchen produces over 500 meals a day. And our culinary job training program teaches culinary skills, but also life skills and social skills. They have a resume component to it, a resume building component. There is mock interviews. There's also some financial literacy that is also involved in it. And so for folks who are underemployed or unemployed, we have that type of programming to give them the skills. And if they pass, they can also leave with a ServSafe certification, and that really gives them a leg up on getting a job in the hospitality industry. And also, oftentimes in the hospitality industry, with your shift comes a meal. So it's another way to combat hunger. But we've had some very successful folks come out of that program and go into different arenas. Just getting back into the workforce was the first step for them.
We'll get back to some other programs, but that's really ingenious in terms of, obviously, if you're in the hospitality industry, that you're going to be fed there. So that's really interesting. So the website is nhfoodbank, all one word, .org. And what I know, but many people may not know, is the food bank receives no federal or state funding for food distribution. So donations, financial donations, are always welcome at nhfoodbank.org. So how does the food bank sustain itself, you know, financially? And obviously you're the face of the food bank, and before that it was Mel, but you obviously have, you know, staff that helps you and so forth. So how does that all come together?
Well, we have individuals, corporations, and foundations that contribute. We write a tremendous amount of grants, but the majority of our funding does come from individuals, and no matter how small the donation is to us, we make it stretch quite a bit. 97 cents of every dollar that comes in goes directly out to programming.
That's impressive, 97%.
And with every dollar, we are able to provide approximately 2 nutritious meals. So we are doing everything we can with each dollar to not only feed the hunger, but nourish the health of our end clients by working with our over 425 partner agencies throughout the state. We consider ourselves the backbone of charitable food distribution, supporting those programs that are out there. And like I said, it's over 400 throughout the state. And we estimate that we distribute approximately 50% of what they're able to distribute.
So how does that work exactly? Sort of maybe provide sort of behind the scenes a look at how that distribution works. There are obviously, you know, a lot of food pantries across the state, and right here in Concord, the Friendly Kitchen and so forth. So how does that behind the scenes, how does that work exactly?
Sure. The New Hampshire Food Bank is one of 200 food banks throughout the country that are under the umbrella of Feeding America. And Feeding America is able on a national level to secure donations that they distribute out to those 200 food banks. And also through the relationships, through our Feeding America contract, we have agreements with our grocery partners locally. And we are able to salvage what we can from them and distribute that for folks that are within 50 miles of the food bank. That are an agency of ours, they come and pick up at our food bank. For those that are outside of that, we have delivery schedules throughout the state. And they are also, through the food safety training that they receive through us, they are able to take advantage of their grocery partners that are local to them. Because it really wouldn't make any sense to have something come all the way down from Colberg just to be redistributed out. So that way it saves on the carbon footprint, and it also saves on the shelf life of the product.
Wow. So that... there's a lot of logistics management and supply chain in all of this.
Absolutely. Last year alone, we distributed over 14 million pounds of food through those over 400 agencies.
So the MBA is coming in handy. So let's talk about, do we have a fun yet compelling competition coming up called the Steel Chef Challenge, hard to say, on April. And tell us about that. And I know the tickets at this point have been sold out, but we are still looking for some corporate sponsors. So tell us about that.
Sure. This will be our fourth annual. We started off many years ago with Chef Robert Irvine, and we did a dinner in the warehouse of the food bank, and that has grown since then to the largest venue in the state, which is the Armory Ballroom at the now DoubleTree by Hilton in downtown Manchester. And this will be our second year with Chef Alex Garnaschelli. We had 2 years with Robert Irvine, 2 years with Chef Alex, and next year we'll see who we're able to bring into the state. But she's a former Iron Chef and a Food Network celebrity. She was great last year. We have 4 local chefs. Many chefs throughout the state enter to compete in this competition. There's a mystery protein and mystery ingredients added to it. So it's kind of a combination of a Chopped and an Iron Chef competition. And last year's winner was Lee Frank out of Otis in Exeter. And he will be awarding the Steel Chef Challenge knife to this year's winner. And the winner from 2 years ago sits on the judges panel. So we're always able to keep our chefs engaged. We also have previous contenders that will be offering appetizers in the VIP room. And it's a real way for us to have the restaurant community participate and understand who their local partner agencies are, if they have an abundance that they are able to share, and keep them engaged in our fight against hunger in the state.
So we keep the engagement going. It's obviously a fun event, too, because it's a sellout. It's March 11th, correct?
Yeah, and we also will have Chefs on the Rise, which is a hiking for hunger in September. And you keep an eye on our website for that. It's another way that we keep the restaurant community engaged. Last year, we hiked up to Mount Major. It was carried on PBS Windows in the Wild with New Hampshire PBS and William Lang. And that was our inaugural hike. But we'll be doing that again this fall in September. And we made breakfast for everyone on top of Mount Major. It was a great event.
Wow. So my corporate friends out there, you can call Nancy at 669-9725. It's 669-9725, extension 1129 for sponsorships for either event. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio with Eileen Laponis, who's the Executive Director of New Hampshire Food Bank. The New Hampshire Food Bank website is nhfoodbank.org. And we're going to get right into all of the programs of the food bank. People don't realize, I think, in addition to distributing, you know, over 14 million pounds of food and over 11 million meals, all the other programs that you have. So let's get back into the various programs that the food bank has, Eileen.
Sure. We also have a food stamp, which is also known as SNAP, outreach program. So folks that are filling out the application and having difficulty can call our hotline and gain assistance there. We have a production garden right here in Manchester. It's 1 acre, and this year we produced over 15,000 pounds of food, which is really remarkable. On average, 1 acre yields about 10,000 pounds. We are the Granite State Market Match Center for the state, where folks who have SNAP are able to double their buying power at participating farmers markets. So that's a great way to get more produce to our food insecure.
And how does that work exactly? People that are involved with SNAP know that? And
yep, they can double their money right there at the farmers market.
Wow, that's awesome.
We also run a number of rural summer food service programs for children. We actually had one that was considered a model by the USDA and how we were able to cobble together a program in a rural community. Often transportation is an issue, and just the economy of scale in some smaller towns is very difficult to get a program together. So we try to concentrate on those rural areas, and we work with the Department of Education with that as well. We also have mobile food pantries for folks that would like to sponsor an area. We have a program where we come in with one truckload with roughly over 10,000 pounds of food to feed over 200, 250 families. We've been very fortunate to secure funding last year and for this year so that, for example, we're in the North Country for the first quarter on the third Thursday of the month. So that's usually when folks run out of their SNAP benefits, which they last about 3 weeks. So to avoid that type of yo-yo nutrition where the last week of the month is a tough week for folks, we like to come in during that time. And so we were able to do that for January, February,
So
March
you have
and April.
You have the statistics that people sort of running out by the third and into the fourth week.
Yep, and you'll see spikes in the emergency room for the folks trying to manage their diabetes but are unable to diet-wise.
Wow, that's thank you for sharing that information. It's incredible. So I think we've made a compelling case for donations, nhfoodbank.org, and for those of you in a position at your corporation to sponsor one of the upcoming events, the Steel Chef Challenge or the hike. Just call Nancy at 669-9725 extension 1129, and Nancy will take good care of you. And again, if you want to make a donation, just access the website nhfoodbank.org. Now, I know that you're interested in the whole systemic approach, the holistic approach, and nourishing the health of the end client. Why don't you talk about the initiatives in that area and how you've led the charge there?
Sure. Well, with our agencies, our partner agencies throughout the state who really deal with the end client, we've been educating them on a program called Nudges, which is really food marketing for the agencies to encourage their end clients to make the healthy choices. Putting the whole wheat bread first and maybe not even having white bread in the line. Putting the produce first so that they fill their cart up on produce and if there are any sugary items that they're at the very end. And we try to discourage that. We have installed a new inventory classification called Healthy Options to make it easier for the agencies to make those healthy choices for their inventory. And also we are partnering with healthcare to screen more for hunger's vital signs. So this way we're trying to extend our impact and reach more food insecure. And they will be given a rack card where on the front it'll walk the client through how to access our website and find out where the agencies are that are closest to them in the town that they live. And on the back side of the card, it's going to be the SNAP eligibility guidelines. Oftentimes, there's about 15% of the population that is available, that SNAP is available to them, and they don't take advantage of it. So we're trying to extend our impact to reach more food insecure in more meaningful ways.
So it's a combination of education.
Mm-hmm.
And the order of nutrition. So we'll get back to preventative food pantries, but
sure.
Let's talk about the winter. Does the winter season bring on more challenges for the food insecure, and why would that be?
Absolutely. The food insecure are definitely stressed during the winter months because of the challenges to meet the heating needs, and so oftentimes it is the food that takes the back seat to the medicine, to the heating bill, to the oil bill. So we are definitely stressed more during the winter months and especially after the holiday season. We're always in mind during the holiday season. Everyone is in a philanthropic giving mode. And then after the new year, everybody kind of hunkers down. And that's when our folks really need their assistance the most.
You would think in terms of Maslow's hierarchy, safety and that security and then food, but actually it seems it makes sense. You can't be cold either, and so at that point they're skimping on food and not maybe making the healthy choices. What about also in terms of school-age children, they're getting free and reduced lunch, and so when school's out, that also that must be an issue as well, right?
Yes, for vacation periods and for the summer for sure. And there's a number of programs throughout the state that try to identify it. That we don't have the entire state blanketed in summer programming, but as a state, our numbers are a little better for the number of students taking advantage of free and reduced lunch during the school year that are able to access a summer program. And I think a lot of that is due to our concentrating on the rural areas to try to bring equity throughout the state.
Yeah, and I just remember from my days on the State Board of Ed, the number of students on free and reduced lunch it's pretty significant in New Hampshire.
It is. It's around 26%. And that's why, it's when I hear that number and then we hear that 11% of our children are food insecure through the stats we are able to keep through Feeding America, somewhere in between lies the truth between those numbers. But we know that we need to really be concentrating on our children during the vacations, during the weekends, and during the summer.
Preventative food pantries and how that whole process works.
Sure. We based it off the model at the Boston Medical Center where they work with the Greater Boston Food Bank. And the clients that come into their primary care physician are screened for hunger's vital signs, two simple questions asking about your availability to food and if you worry about running out of food or running out of money to buy food. And if you screen positive for that, which I very much like the Hunger's Vital Signs screening, there's a number of tools out there, but this is one that gives three possible answers: no, sometimes, and yes. So that sometimes often gives folks the ability to save face and say, oh, sometimes. It's not always true. And that ability to catch those folks gives that screening tool a tremendous amount of power to reach more folks. And we are really hoping that our healthcare industry throughout the state uses the Hunger's Vital Signs to screen for their folks. Our biggest enemy is shame and stigma. And yep. So by offering somebody the sometimes, you capture them.
If you had to kind of sum up your role, I mean, you came from a background of this concept of healthy living, healthy eating, and trying to systemically address this. What's if you were in your own boardroom and you were describing the next 3 years of the New Hampshire Food Bank without necessarily revealing anything proprietary, what would you say?
That we are really looking to extend our impact to not just feed the hunger, but nourish the health through thoughtful programming and really thoughtful purchasing and acquiring of our food products for our food insecure. We hope to do more screening to reach more food insecure folks, and we hope to partner with healthcare to provide more opportunities like the preventative food pantry, the first one we were able to start in the state with Catholic Medical Center, and later this quarter, the second one will be rolling out in the Upper Connecticut Valley Hospital in Colebrook. And that's where when folks screen positively through their primary care providers for food insecurity, they are prescribed to a preventative food pantry where foods that help them combat the disease that they're dealing with, the first three that we're dealing with most likely are diabetes, high blood pressure, and obesity, that they can get the foods that will help them manage those diseases and have a preventative effect going forward, and educate them on how these foods can help them control their diabetes and their high blood pressure and help them reduce their weight. And that type of education and further care we're hoping to really accomplish with the healthcare industry in New Hampshire.
It's awesome. You definitely have a very strategic vision. And again, I know that this is New Hampshire. So as a reminder, every dollar donated, the New Hampshire Food Bank can provide two meals, and then roughly 97% of every dollar donated is directly into food. The New Hampshire Food Bank supplies approximately goes to 425 agencies. And as a reminder, no federal or state funding is given to New Hampshire Food Bank. So those of you that can write a check, nhfoodbank.org. And for those of you that are in a position in your company to sponsor some of these upcoming events, call Nancy at 669-9725, extension 1129. And remember, one out of nine people in New Hampshire are food insecure, and many of those are children. And I commend you for your leadership. Over 14 million pounds of foods were provided, 14 million pounds in 2018. So not only do you have to have this vision and this kind of passion for the looking at the total picture and the total healthcare system and the total food system, you also have to be a logistics expert too. So good for you. So thank you for your leadership.
Thank you. I mean, just to remind everyone, we also take volunteers. Last year, we had the number of volunteer hours that contributed to the New Hampshire Food Bank was the equivalent of 10 full-time employees. So we really appreciate every hour and every dollar that anyone can donate to us.
Great. Volunteers and checks, nhfoodbank.org. Eileen Laponis, thank you for joining me this weekend.
Thank you, Tom, for the opportunity.